The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as
Elder David Howell
from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
On November 21st, last year, in the fall, David Cassidy died. Now, some of you don't know who David Cassidy is or was. Some of you probably don't care. And I never really was a David Cassidy fan. But with the death of David Cassidy went a little bit more of my childhood, because he was a part of my childhood. You see, David Cassidy, he died at the age of 67. So when he was doing his acting, and he was an actor, he was a songwriter, he was a singer, he was a guitarist, and when he was doing all of this, I was like 11, 12 years old. And he was the big teen idol of that time. He was best known for his role as Keith Partridge in the 1970s musical sitcom, The Partridge Family. Now, that sitcom musical, it ran 4 years, had 96 episodes. And do any of y'all remember that bus with all the colors? Okay. And during that time, I'd go to school and the girls would have these teen magazines, Teen Idol, like Tiger Beat, Teen Beat, 16 Magazine, and that's to name a few of them. And well, either had Michael Jackson or David Cassidy or Donny Osmond on the front. And of course, most of them had all of them on the front. Just one of them was more prominent than the other. And occasionally, Bobby Sherman would sneak in, but this is what you saw. You go to the checkout counter at the grocery store, and there it would be. You know, there's his picture. And he was talented. I mean, he was the son of actor Jack Cassidy and actress Evelyn Ward. And he had a stepmom, Shirley Jones, you may remember. Shirley Jones was an actress that starred in the movie Carousel, and she was a singer. And he actually starred in The Partridge Family with his stepmom, Shirley Jones. She played Shirley Partridge. And this Partridge Family, they sang. But you know, it's interesting. The only two that could sing in The Partridge Family was Shirley and David. The rest of them were just mouthing, and then studio musicians were dubbed in. They couldn't play the instruments either. The only one that played an instrument was David. It was so Hollywood. But that's the way it was back in the early 70s. And you know, prior to his Partridge Family role, he being the son of an actor and an actress, I mean, he did some cameo, I mean, not cameo, but he did some appearances as a young child on some TV shows like Adam 12, Ironside, Bonanza, Marcus Welby, M.D., and the Mod Squad. Who remembers the Mod Squad? But this singing career was launched by his Partridge Family involvement, and through his Partridge Family celebrity, well, the Partridge Family had some number one hits. Some of you may remember them. Come On, Get Happy. That was their theme song that they used to start the show. Then they had like I Woke Up in Love This Morning, I Think I Love You, Doesn't Somebody Want to Be Wanted, I'll Meet You Halfway. And then David Cassidy solo had hits like How Can I Be Sure, Could It Be Forever, remember Cherish? Cherish was one that was really, that was a number one. And in 1974, David Cassidy is at the height of his career. He actually had fan clubs bigger than Elvis, bigger than the Beatles. He was loved in the United Kingdom as much as he was loved over here in America. And in London, in May of 1974, he was at the White City Stadium, and there was 800 people injured in the crush at the front of the stage. There was the media used a term called Cassidy Mania to describe his concerts. They would have almost riots. He would have they would have to sneak him into the stadium. It's kind of crazy. I guess he might have been, I guess maybe Justin Bieber might be like that now. I don't know. I don't keep up with him. The excitement of the crowd caused a 14-year-old young girl at this concert in 1974. The excitement of the crowd caused her pre-existing heart condition to trigger cardiac arrest, and she died from the excitement of seeing David Cassidy. Now, according to his closest friends and his confidants, he was completely, totally devastated by that. And you know, they say he never got over it. And about that time, he decided to quit touring, quit acting, just concentrate on his singing and his songwriting. And he kind of, believe it or not, 74, let's see, how old would he be? 24 years old, he retires and goes kind of into obscurity. He gave a very controversial interview to Rolling Stone that was very controversial. He was on the cover of Rolling Stone. And it was during this time that he was getting involved in alcohol and a depraved lifestyle. And in the 1980s, his alcoholism and his lifestyle, by the 1980s, he's broke. And through the 1990s and in the 2000s, he tried to reinvent himself, but he struggled with this lifestyle that he couldn't let go of. He was a slave to alcoholism. But he continued a singing career as best he could. He had a string of guest appearances, cameo appearances. And in the 2010s, he maintained a regular touring schedule. I guess for people maybe my age, I don't know. And he used to go across the U.S. and the United Kingdom, and he actually toured until about a year before he died. He did shows in Vegas. But the years of alcoholism and physical neglect and the lifestyle he lived, they were catching up with him. He had liver and kidney disease. He retired completely in early 2017 from performing because he was suffering from dementia. He actually was at a concert, lost the words, had an episode. And ultimately, on November the 18th, he was hospitalized in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with liver and kidney failure. And 3 days later, he died of liver failure. Now, you know, last words are important. I have a few favorites. I like the last words of Queen Elizabeth I, not the one that's living now. Wouldn't have any last words on her yet, though I'm interested when they do happen. Queen Elizabeth I said, "All my possessions for a moment of time." That's very thought-provoking. I've always kind of liked that one. I like General Stonewall Jackson's. He said, "Let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the tree." I wonder what he was seeing. Obviously, it was very comforting. And I really like this one. You know, I think God has a sense of humor, or either he just loves irony. 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died. What are the chances? I mean, obviously God has his timetable, and I think God was throwing a little irony at us there, but Adams and Jefferson were rivals. They were at each other's throat politically. They actually, kind of toward the end, they became friends again, but they were rivals. And when John Adams dies, his last words were, Thomas Jefferson still survives. But little did he know, Thomas Jefferson in Virginia had died a few hours earlier. So actually, John Adams survived and didn't know it, because he died in Massachusetts. Once again, God's got a sense of humor and he loves irony. But what did David Cassidy say? What was David Cassidy's last words? According to his daughter, David Cassidy said, "So much wasted time." Those were his words. "So much wasted time." Now, there are three things I want to tell you tonight that I know with all certainty about David Cassidy. Three very important facts, probably the three most important facts about David Cassidy. First off, his life had an eternal design. Yep. There was an eternal design on his life. He had a purpose of being here. He had a reason. Psalms 8 says in verses 4 through 5, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." God made David Cassidy. He crowned him with glory and honor. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." David Cassidy had a duty. His eternal design was to fear God, which means respect God, to obey God. That was his duty. He had an eternal design. God also eternally designed David Cassidy because he said right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." Before the foundation of the world, God gave David Cassidy an eternal design that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Yes, David Cassidy had an eternal design that God knew before the foundation of the world. He also, the Scriptures tell us, David wrote this in Psalms, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Yes, an eternal design by God. His life had an eternal design. You know what David Cassidy also had? He had this promise from God. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, that's an eternal design. God knows us. God predestines us for glory. He gives us the duty that we're supposed to do. He writes in His book the things that aren't even happened yet, and He has thoughts of peace to give us a future and a hope. That's an eternal design, folks. David Cassidy, the second thing I know about David Cassidy is his life had an eternal decision to make. The first time we run into, well, not really the first time, but one of the places we run into this eternal decision is the story about Joshua. In chapter 24 of Joshua, chapter 24, 15 and 16, he said, or 15. Actually, it's 14 and 15. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." That's a decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. "Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land you dwell." Here's the decision, folks. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's an eternal decision. Isaiah 53:5 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You see, there's a condition that requires a decision. Romans 3:27 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." David Cassidy had gone astray. He was sinful. He was sinful with original sin. He was sinful with also the depravity of a sinful lifestyle. And Proverbs 14:12 tells us, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And some decisions that seem right lead to the wrong consequences. And the consequences of David Cassidy's life were because of the ways that seemed right to him that he chose. But God said in Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God says, "Come. Let's talk about this. Let's reason." And I know that God called David Cassidy. Why? Because he calls everyone. He calls us all to repentance. It's our free will of how we choose to respond to that call. Everyone gets a chance. And Jesus said in John 14:6, we all know this scripture, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So a decision has to be made. And that decision has to be made because Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a condition. There's a decision that has to be made. Accept Christ, accept God's plan, accept God's remedy for our sin, or to reject it. And that's an eternal decision, folks. But we have this promise in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth and confession is made to salvation." With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. There was a way. There was a right decision David Cassidy could make. There was a provision for that decision. And there's a warning in the scriptures that says in Isaiah 55:6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." You see, there's an eternal decision that has to be made. And David Cassidy had that eternal decision to make. That eternal decision is not final until you take your last breath. The decision you make is eternal, but it can be rectified, it can be changed, it can be amended, it can be fixed if it's the wrong decision up until the time that you take your last breath or up until the time that you are mentally capable. I'm not so all fire sure sometimes that people might not be mentally capable according to the doctors, but they may still be spiritually capable according to the Holy Spirit. But as long as you can reach out to God, as long as there is life in your being, as long as you're on this side of the veil, that decision can be made. Look at the thief on the cross. Did he not make a decision? He made a decision. It's an eternal decision. But one day it's going to be a final decision, and that's one thing that David Cassidy faced. Because you see, his life, also the third thing I know about David Cassidy, he had an eternal destination. You see, he had an eternal design, he had an eternal decision, and then ultimately he had an eternal destination. Romans 9:27 tells us, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment." And I believe it's immediate. There's two clues we have in Scripture that it's immediate. First, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, "We're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord, if that's the decision you've made. If you've not made a good decision, however, according to the story, not parable, but the story that Jesus told about Lazarus and the rich man, Jesus said this, "And it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom." That immediately happened. "The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes." It's immediately after he dies, he lifts up his eyes in Hades. You see, there's an immediate destination when you take your final breath. And David Cassidy had an eternal destination that he fulfilled that day when he died back in November. At the age of 63, 4 years before his death, David Cassidy had an interview. And before I go into that interview, I want to point out something. There are hospice nurses that have spoken about what they've seen in hospital rooms. And it's pretty amazing. I've been in the room of a saint that went to the glory. And it was quite something to see. Hospice nurses tell us that there are people that do all kinds of actions. They reach with their hands. They smile. They start talking to people. There's many times that hospice nurses say that people pass away peacefully and joyfully, saying things of comfort, things of great expectation, smiles on their faces, things like that. And then there are those who fight it at the end, like they're trying to fight someone off of them. They go out screaming. And hospice nurses talk about this too. And the one thing that they all say, and they all agree upon, when you die, something or someone comes to get you. There is something that happens that you recognize is taking you. And those who see the glory of God, those saints that die, they welcome it. And those that don't die so well, who are not prepared, they go out of this world kicking and screaming. And that's the testimony of hospice nurses. Well, David Cassidy, 4 years prior to dying, at the age of 63, he gave an interview. And he said in this interview, he described a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience. Now, I don't know David Cassidy's spiritual condition when he died. I don't know that. But I know what he said. At the age of 63, he said he had been going to church for years. Now, I don't know where he went, but he said he'd been going in and out of church for years. And then he said, "One day I had a spiritual awakening when I dropped to my knees, felt something go through me like a relief. And I said, 'Thank you, God.' And I began to cry and weep like a little boy. For the first time in my life, I admitted that I was an alcoholic and was powerless over my addiction." And then he went on to explain how he'd always heard about Christians talk about being born again. He never understood until that day what they meant by that. And then he entered a 12-step program. I don't know. I hope and pray that God got hold of him that day and that he made the right eternal decision. But that was his words 4 years prior to dying. We have a promise in God's word about this eternal destination. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 57. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law is, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the eternal destination of the child of God, the saint who's ready to meet the Lord. The three most important things I know about David Cassidy, I also know about myself. And I know about each of you. You see, our lives, my life, your life, we all have an eternal design, an eternal purpose to fulfill. And I know, and you know, that our lives have an eternal decision to make. And I know for myself, and you also know, that our lives have an eternal destination to obtain. So what do we say about this? It's the beginning of the year. Time to reflect. Are we fulfilling God's eternal design in our life? Are we doing the duty of man? We're here to love and serve God. We're here that He may be glorified. Are we fulfilling that eternal design? You know, David Cassidy said, "So much wasted time." I hope that those final words, maybe he saw something comforting. Maybe he saw glory. And maybe he felt like the words of the song, "By and by when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more." I hope those words of their regret, obviously. But I hope they were regret because he realized how awesome the love of God is and how much more he could have done. I hope those last words, "so much wasted time," were not regrets of, "I've messed up." I don't know. His daughter doesn't give a lot of information about the tone of his voice or how his demeanor or how he said it. But those were his words. And obviously they're words of regret. And I think to a certain extent, when we see the angels of glory coming to get us and we realize we're going to come face to face with Jesus, I think we're all going to be regretting a little bit that we could have done more. So are we fulfilling our eternal design? Have we made the right eternal decision? I know everyone in this room has, I believe. But have we made the right eternal decision? And are we heading to the correct eternal destination? Because you see, Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 15 through 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.